Tape recorded message number TL457. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges. Our study today begins with the 15th chapter, but before we start on this, we must back up to the last two verses of the previous chapter, which I did not find time to deal with in the previous message. In the 19th verse of the 14th chapter, we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. This was Samson. And he went down to Ashkelon, and he slew 30 of them, and took their spoil, and gave changes of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. And so we find out that as the result that they had found from the wife of Samson, the explanation of his riddle, and he had said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle, that he does pay what he had promised, but he gets these by slaying certain people in Ashkelon, as it was the purpose of the Lord that these people should be punished. So in 1 chapter 15, we read it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go to my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And the father said, I verily thought that you had utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes. He took firebrands and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst of them between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn, that would be the standing grain of the Philistines, and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn, the grain, with the vineyards and the olives. So there was simply fire everywhere, destroying the crops that the Philistines had tended so carefully and were just ready to be harvested. In verse 6, then the Philistines said, Who has done this? And they answered, Samson, because he did it out in public, and to do this with 300 foxes, why, it had to almost be public, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companions. And since he had caused this by what he had done to Samson's, we're told that the Philistines came and burnt her and her father with fire. These were very crude days and very cruel days, and they acted very, very quickly, and this is what they did to the father-in-law and the one who was the wife of Samson. In the verse 7, Samson said unto them, Yo, ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. And the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah, and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam, and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? He said unto them, As he did unto me, so I have done unto them. Now, the Bible is just simply telling us, it's not justifying any of his acts, but he is just simply saying, as they did unto me, so I have done unto them. The record is true. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee in the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me, that you will not fall upon me yourselves, you'll not put me to death yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, but we will bind thee fast, deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with new cords, and brought him up from the rock. And when they came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his friends loosed, and his bands loosed from off his hands. He found a new jawbone of an ass. This would really be the lower part of the skull of the ass, and he put forth his hands and took it, and he slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. It came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hands, and he called the place Ramath Lehi, which the scholars tell us means the hill of the jawbone. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw. To clave would be to split, and hollow place was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof and Hakor, which is in Levi, unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. He was a judge while they were in captivity. And anything at all that might seem quite strange about verse 19, how that this could be, all you have to do is to put God into it, to believe that God can do what he pleases to do. And this pleased him to do this, that Samson might drink. Therefore, it offers no difficulty to the one who believes in God. We cannot help those who do not believe in God, or who leave him out of the story, or put him out of the story. And he's most certainly there. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot. Now, the Bible is recording the facts in the case. It's not trying to prettify anyone, or it is not trying to tell the story any different what it was. This is what Samson did. He went to Gaza, saw there a harlot, and went into her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. He's here. So they compassed him in, they surrounded him, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. So Samson lay till midnight, and he arose at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate of the city. These were enormous things. And the two posts that held up the gates, and went away with them, the bar and all. He put them upon his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. It came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him and afflict him, and he will give, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes, we would call these branches, although in my boyhood days, withes was a very common word. I can even remember my mother threatened to take a withe to me if I didn't straighten up and fly right and behave myself, because this is a word that she used. But these were just the green branches that were never dried. He said, then shall I be as weak as any other man. Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her seven green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread, and trow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength, really the source of his strength, was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, whither thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, never been used to tie anything else, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me whitherwith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awaked out of his sleep, went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me with these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. It came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. Now here he's telling the truth. He's fooled around, he's played around, now he's got himself involved. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords, the Philistines, came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man. She caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now notice this, that due to his sins, the continuation of his sins, the fact that they're repeated over and over, the Lord has departed from him. And so there he is now, alone, facing the Philistines. He's not a great big giant of a man or anything like that. His strength in the Lord, but the Lord has departed. And no longer will we be able to say, in connection with this incident, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so, here he is. You feel sorry for him. To verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. He was doing the work of oxen, and he was grinding in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven, which it naturally would. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god. We'll come upon Dagon again in the days of Samuel. And these Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and they rejoiced, for they said, our god, that's Dagon, hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. When the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our god hath delivered him into our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. It came to pass when their hearts are married, they call for Samson, that they make us that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women to be held while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, I remember thee, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right, the other with his left hand. Now remember that there's many, many upon the roof, of 3,000 men and women, and there are many of them up on the roof, which was to these people part of the house. The roof did not slant, it was flat, and they're there. And so he now has the supporting pillars, one in the left hand, one on the right. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. He bowed himself with all his might. The house fell upon the lords and all the people were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death was more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren, all the house of his father, came down and took him up and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel for 20 years. Now the very character of Samuel and all his work is a puzzle. It's an enigma to us. Here he was, announced by an angel, and he was a Nazarite, but he constantly defiled his Nazarite separation through his fleshly desires. He was called of God to be the judge of Israel, and he was endued wonderfully with the Spirit of God. Yet he didn't work any abiding work for Israel. He did a lot, and when he left, there was nothing that he left behind, and nothing at all that he did for them, and he perished in the captivity of his enemies, the Philistine. And yet there was here a man of faith, and this faith got honored. He wrote about it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Now, for the next few chapters, everything is confusion. Just everything in Israel is complete confusion. Samson left nothing behind. It was all gone. Now, let's look at what goes on here. 17th, to me, is a very interesting chapter. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, and about which thou cursed, spake us also in mine ears, Behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou to the Lord, my son. Now notice the confusion here. A woman saved her money, and she has 1,100 shekels of silver. They've disappeared. Somebody stole them. She doesn't know where they have gone. But she pronounced a curse upon the one that took it. Shows her superstition. And she spoke of it to her son Micah, and this kind of got him stirred up and made him afraid. So he confessed that he had the silver, that he was the one that took it. And instead of his mother giving him a good lecture upon not stealing, and so on, she actually spoke out and said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. This shows her superstition and her hypocrisy. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I'll give it back to you. I had intended this should be used to make a graven image and thought it was gone, but I'll restore it to you. Yet he restored the money to his mother. He didn't want anything further to do with it. And he restored the money to his mother. His mother took 200 shekels of silver. Notice that. She had saved up the whole 1,100, and now she just takes 200 of it and gave them to the founder. Now, a founder is a man that will melt down things and cast them into a certain shape. At one time in his life, my father was a foundryman, and some of the happy days of my childhood were spent playing around his foundry, sometimes making molds myself and getting the men at night to pour a little iron in them. Oh, we would come out with what we call the dumbbells, which are the exercise bells, or some little thing like this that we could shape up and get the men to pour the iron into it. And they would do it since they worked for my father. So I know what a founder is. And he made, therefore, a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Now, Micah had a house of gods. He's got a little chapel, that's what he has, and he's got idols here. So he made an ephod, and he made teraphim. Ephod would be a garment the priest would wear. So he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now he's got it all fixed up, and he probably feels very good about this, and yet he's not satisfied. Even though one of his sons has been consecrated, he's not of the tribe of Levi, the family of Aaron. But he did make him a priest. So he's got a little chapel. He's got the ephod. He's got both he's got the teraphim in there. These are the household gods. And then we're told, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, if there'd been a king there, they would have had to have done what the king said, because no one refused the word of a king. These men were monarchs, but there was no king in Israel. So everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. And this is what we see today in the religious realm. There is no authority to speak. We do have the word of God, and the only thing we've got to guide us is the word. But when that word is not followed, then there is just no authority in the lives of those people, and all they can do is that which is right in their own eyes. We live in a day when religion and religious things are proliferating. And almost every day someone comes up with something new that is to be respected and be revered and so on, and they make a religious thing out of this. So, not following the authority of God's word, every man just does that which is right in his own eyes. Now, another character comes into the picture. There was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah. He was of the family of Judah, Judahite, but he was a Levite, and he sojourned there. Since he lived in the land of Judah, but he was a Levite, and he sojourned there. Well, this man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. This man, who ordinarily would have been a priest of God, but due to the awful confusion, it seems that he was maybe out of work, and he just went wherever he could find a place. Oh, I used to watch this back in my days as men would travel from the Northern Baptist Convention territory and area to the Southern Baptist Convention. They'd change their views and their beliefs, apparently change their convictions as they traveled about. Once they found the place, that's what they preached, and that's what they believed. Well, he was looking for a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. Micah said unto him, "Whence cometh thou?" He said unto him, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place." Micah said unto him, "You dwell with me. Be unto me a father and a priest." He would take this young man and make him a father, he says, and a priest. I'll give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year. 1 suit of apparel and all the food that you eat, I'll supply this. Well, it sounded like a very good proposition to the Levite. So this Levite went in and became his priest. So he was content to dwell with the man Micah. And the young man was under him as one of his sons. And that everything might be done properly and in order, Micah, he consecrated the Levite. And the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, "Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." C.I. Scofield's marginal note, or his footnote, is pertinent here. He says that this is a striking illustration of all apostasy. With his entire departure from the revealed will of God concerning worship and priesthood, there is yet an exaltation of false priesthood, saying, "Blessed of thou be thou of Jehovah." Micah's mother makes an idol, and Micah expects the blessing of Jehovah because he has linked his idolatry with the ancient Levitical order. We have people to do today who think anything at all that you do, anything you practice, as long as you link the name of Christ to it, that makes it all right. Just add the name of Jesus to it and say you're doing it for him, and whatever you do, that just makes it all right. And it's characteristic of apostasy. But let's go on. As we're told, those days there was no king in Israel. In those days, the tribe of the Danites, they sought them an inheritance to dwell in. They were looking for a place and a portion that they might dwell there. For unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen to them among the tribes of Israel. While a portion had been allotted to them, it had not yet fallen to them, so they are out looking for one. The children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor, brave men, from Zorah, from Eshtaol, to spow out the land and search it. And they said unto them, "Go search the land." When they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned in thither and said unto him, "What brought you hither? What brought you to this place? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here?" And he said unto them, "Thus and thus Micah has dealt with me. He's hired me, and I am his priest." He was just a hired priest. Like most ministers are hired to say what the congregation wants them to say and to do what the congregation wants them to do, and they are just hirelings. And that's what they're going to do. And they said unto him, "Ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous." And the priest told him exactly what they wanted to hear. He said, "Go in peace before the Lord is your way wherein you go." So the 5 men departed. They came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians. They dwelt quiet and secure. There was no magistrate in the land that they might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians, who had no business with any man. And they came unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said unto them, "What say ye?" And they said, "Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And yet you are still, or why are you still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure and to a large land, for God hath given it into your hands, a place where is no want of anything that is in the earth." And there went from thence of the family of the Danites, out of Zorah, out of Eshtaol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war, quite a company, 600 of them appointed with weapons of war. they went up and they pitched in Kirjath-Jearim in Judah. Wherefore they call that place Mahanadan unto this day. Behold, it is in Kirjath-Jearim. They passed thence unto Mount Ephraim, came the house of Micah. Then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish, and said unto their brethren, Do you know that there is in this house, in these houses, there is an ephod, teraphim, a graven image, and a molten image? Now therefore consider what ye have to do. So they turned thitherward, and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and they saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were the children of Dan, stood by the entering the gate. And the five men that went up to spy out the land, went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering the gate with 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. They went into Micah's house. They fetched the carved image, the ephod, the teraphim, the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, What do ye? And they said, Hold your peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or to be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? Well, the priest's heart was glad. And he took the effigy, the teraphim, the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. And so now Micah has lost everything. It is all gone. And so they've got the little ones and the cattle. They've just got everything that belonged to Micah. And his priest was glad to go along because there was more money in it. He counted this as a promotion. And maybe he even attributed this promotion to God. Who knows? Most people like to attribute things to God. He probably said, Yeah, the Lord's been very good to me. It's been an answer to prayer. I wanted a bigger place and a bigger work, a chance for a greater service. And so he went along with them. Well, that's the way that hireling priests will do. So he was very glad. And So we read in verse 22, When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together. They overtook the children of Dan, and they cried unto the children of Dan. And they turned their faces and said unto Micah, What ailest thee that you come with such a company? And he said, You have taken away my gods which I have made. And you've taken my priest, and you're gone away. And what have I more? Then what do you say to me? What aileth thee? Do you realize that how many people in this world who build up a great store of religious things, how that could be taken away from them, and they lose it all? But if we practice religion as Christianity, and we have everything invested in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's simply no one that can ever take it away from us. It just cannot be done. But that's what they've done to Micah, and he's after him, and he said, You've done all this to me, and yet you say, What's bothering you? What's wrong with you, fellow? Well, in verse 25, the children of Dan said unto him, Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and you lose your life with the lives of thy household. So the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned, and he went back unto his house. And they took the things which Micah had made, the priest that he had, and they came to Laish unto people that were quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword, and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon. They had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth in Beth-Rehob. And they built a city and dwelt therein. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel, one of the original fathers of one of the 12 tribes. Howbeit, the name of that city was Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. Now they've got it. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests of the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made, all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And so this was really the beginning of idolatry in Israel. An actual idolatry where it was systematized and organized, and it continued right until the time of the captivity of the land. And that's a long time. Now in chapter 19, we go on to read, came to pass in those days there was no king in Israel. This is repeated over and over. That there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away from him into her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, was there 4 whole months. Her husband arose. Quite a bit of mystery about this practice of concubinage. This man was her husband. But he arose to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. When the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him. And he abode with him 3 days, so that they did eat, and they drank, and they lodged there. And it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he arose to depart. The damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thy heart with a morsel of bread, afterwards then go your way. So they sat down. They did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said to the man, be content, I pray thee, to tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. Now when the man arose up to depart, the father-in-law urged him again. Therefore he lodged there again. And he arose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart. The damsel's father said, comfort thy heart, I pray thee. They tarried until afternoon, and they did eat, both of them. Now when the man rose up to depart, he, his concubine, his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry. Tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. But the man would not tarry that night. He rose up and departed, and came over against Jebus, J-E-B-U-S, which is Jerusalem. One of the earliest mentions of Jerusalem to be found in the Word of God, first called Jebus, J-E-B-U-S, and this is Jerusalem. There were with him 2 asses saddled. His concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. The servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into the city of the Jebusites, and lodge in it. His master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over unto Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, come, let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down unto them when they were by Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in. And when they went in, he sat him down the streets of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house of lodging. There came out an old man from his work out of the field at even, which is also Mount Even, and he sojourned in Gibeah, but the men of the place were Benjaminites. When he lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city, and the old man said, Whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? And he said, We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the city of Mount Ephraim, from whence I am. I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses. There is bread and wine also with me, and for thy handmaid, and for the young men which is with thy servants, there is no want of everything. And the old man said, Peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street. So he brought him into his house, gave provender unto his asses. They washed their feet, and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, beat at the door, spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thy house, that we name know him. And that's got the worst possible meaning that you can bring to it. These men were a group of homosexuals that wanted wanted to rape this man, these men. Bring him forth, that we may know him. The man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing this man is come into my house, don't do this folly. So they just didn't want to know him in conversation. They wanted to know him sexually. And so he said, Don't do this. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not do so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine, brought her forth unto them. They knew her, abused her all night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day, and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning, opened the doors of the house, went out to go on his way. Behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. He said unto her, Up, and let us be going, but none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up, and he got him to his place, and when he came to his house, he took a knife, laid hold on the concubine, for she was dead, divided her together with her bones in 12 pieces, sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw said, There is no such deed done nor seen the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. And we'll see the significance of this in our next study, for our time is up, and I must bring it to a close. I thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you.